are Locked On Yankees, your daily New York Yankees podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You're listening to the Locked On Yankees podcast, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm your host, Stacey Gotsoulias. You can find us on Twitter at Locked On Yankees, all one word. You can find me on Twitter at StaceGots. Please feel free to tweet questions or comments to either account. If you're a new listener, hello and welcome. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. I hope you all enjoyed today's episode. It will be a preview of tonight's doubleheader against the Orioles, and I hope to get it up before that doubleheader begins at 4:05 p.m. As you know, the game was rained out last night, so once again, the Yankees are stuck playing a doubleheader. We will preview that, preview the rest of the series, and more, but first you can get Locked On Yankees and all other Locked On podcasts straight to your phone in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Himalaya, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere else you get your podcasts. And when you get into your car, you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Yankees. Thanks to last night's rainout, we have a traditional doubleheader. Well, traditional in the 2020 sense, as in it starts at 4:05. The first game will be 7 innings if they don't go into extras. And then the second game will start 35 minutes after the first game ends. And as of now, it'll be Gerrit Cole against Alex Cobb in the first game. Keegan Aiken was supposed to pitch last night for the Orioles. So instead they have Cobb. And as for Cobb, he is returning from the injured list. He's been there since September 4th for undisclosed reasons. The last time he pitched was August 29th, and he lost to the Blue Jays. As for Cole, he's looking to end a 3-start losing streak. He's gone 0-3 with a 5.63 ERA during that stretch. He allowed 5 runs, 1 earned over 6 innings against the Orioles last Saturday, which dropped him to 1-1 in 2 starts against Baltimore. And in Game 2, Keegan Aiken will be pitching for the Orioles. Masahiro Tanaka will be pitching for the Yankees. As I said yesterday, Aiken is a rookie left-hander. He's Baltimore's number 15 prospect, and he's done really well. He struck out 15 batters in 13 innings since debuting last month. As for Tanaka, this is his 8th start of the season, but only his 3rd on 4 days of rest. He gave up 4 runs, 2 earned in 5 1/3 innings against Baltimore on Sunday, and he took his 2nd loss of the year.
Bummer times.
On Saturday, it'll be Dean Kramer against Jordan Montgomery. Kramer baffled the Yankees last week. He's the Orioles' number 10 prospect. He struck out 7 in his last outing, and apparently it was the best debut by an Orioles starter since 2015. And you know what happened in 2015. The Orioles made it pretty far into the playoffs.
Playoffs?
As for Jordan Montgomery, he will get his first look at the Orioles in 2020. It's his 8th start of the season. He hasn't won since August 11th, and he's gone 0-1 with a 6.39 ERA over his last 4 starts. So something has to give. And finally, on Sunday in the finale, it'll be John Means against Jay Happ. Means held the Mets to 1 run over 6 innings in his last start. He's 1-3 with a 6.58 ERA over 7 starts overall. As for Happ, he had one of his best outings of the season last time out, striking out 10 in 6 1/3 innings in a 2-1 loss to the Blue Jays on Tuesday. He faced the Orioles in his first start of this season, and he allowed 4 runs over 4 innings in a no decision. I don't know about you all, but part of me was very irritated that there was a rainout because I feel as if the Yankees are about to get things going and then a rainout happens or a positive COVID-19 test happens. And then they have to miss a day or two and they're stuck playing doubleheaders and they don't look good playing those doubleheaders. And I just don't like this season at all. It's annoying. Every time it seems as if they have turned a corner or they're about to turn a corner, they run into a wall. And if this was the Stacey of 2019 and say the Yankees had Gerrit Cole, and we had Gerrit Cole and Masahiro Tanaka going in a doubleheader, I would automatically say, oh, we got this one in the bag. The Yankees will win both games easily. But it's 2020, and Gerrit Cole isn't quite pitching how Gerrit Cole should be pitching. Masahiro Tanaka's been okay. And the Orioles of 2020 aren't the Orioles of 2019. They're not a fantastic team, but they're young, they're fiery, and they're not scared of the 2020 Yankees. As I said in yesterday's show, no one is afraid of the 2020 Yankees, and they know that. And they need to come out and play with some swagger. They're at home this weekend. They can't be dropping 3 or 4 games to the Orioles at home. They need to come out, play like they should play, and win 3 out of 4. This team is missing that swagger that they've had. You see, the other teams have it. The Rays walked all over the Yankees this season. The Blue Jays, so far, are walking all over the Yankees this season. The Orioles, last weekend, walked all over the Yankees. So the Yankees need to come out, act like the Yankees, step on their necks, and do well this series. In a moment, we'll look back at this date in Yankees history, but before we do that, it's time for me to gush about Built Bar. That's right, Built Bar's back. 18 amazing flavors, including 6 new flavors. Caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, apple almond crisp. All of those flavors will be covered in 100% chocolate like the 12 originals, so I would imagine that they taste absolutely incredible. I've told you guys over and over and over again how much I actually love Built Bar. I am not lying about this. I buy Built Bars at least once a month because the boxes come with 18 bars. You can make a custom box with 3 of your favorite flavors. I've done this before with Mint Brownie Delight, Coconut Almond, and Salted Caramel Chocolate. I'm drooling just thinking about them because the best thing about Built Bar is they're healthy for you, but they taste like they're bad for you. They're low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, high in taste, good for the keto diet, good for anyone who just wants to maintain weight or lose weight. Either way, you're all set with Built Bar. Go to builtbar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON and you'll get $10 off your next order. Doesn't matter if it's your first order, your third, or your 50th. Go to builtbar.com, use the promo code LOCKEDON, and you'll get $10 off your next order. So for this latest trip down memory lane, we will be looking at 15 years ago this afternoon. It was a Yankee-Red Sox game in Yankee Stadium. It was a Sunday afternoon game, which was kind of odd considering it was Yankees-Red Sox and usually they occupied the Sunday night baseball slot. But it was Randy Johnson against Tim Wakefield. It was a playoff atmosphere, and I'm telling the story because I was there that day. As I said, it was a Sunday, and I remember being relieved that it was actually a Sunday afternoon and not a Sunday night because it felt as if that season I was stuck at Sunday night games a lot. And it's amusing because at the time I was living in Manhattan, and you would think it wouldn't be a problem for me to get home from Yankee Stadium. You'd be wrong, though. There were nights where I didn't get home till 1:30, 2 o'clock, and I lived in Upper Manhattan. So I was actually closer than other people who lived in Manhattan, and it still took me way too long to get home. Anyway, relieved it was a Sunday afternoon, little tense that it was Yankees-Red Sox, because we were into September, the Yankees were behind the Sox in the standings. At this point in the season, the Red Sox were 83-59, the Yankees were 80-62. So again, your starters, Randy Johnson and Tim Wakefield. Here are your lineups for Boston: Johnny Damon, Edgar Renteria, Kevin Youkilis, Manny Ramirez, Kevin Millar, Tony Graffanino, Doug Mirabelli, Bill Miller, Gabe Kapler. For the Yankees, Derek Jeter, Robinson Cano, Jason Giambi, Alex Rodriguez, Hideki Matsui, Jorge Posada, Bernie Williams, John Flaherty, and Bubba Crosby was your right fielder. Now, the story of this game was the pitching matchup, because Tim Wakefield ended up pitching a complete game, and he did really well against the Yankees. Randy Johnson also did well. He threw 7 scoreless innings, only gave up a hit, walked 2, struck out 8. Wakefield pitched 8 full innings, gave up 1 run on 3 hits with 1 walk and 12 strikeouts. Your umps for the day: home plate Darryl Cousins, first base Jeff Nelson, second base Bill Miller, third base Joe Brinkman. It was a cloudy day that day. I remember that. And I remember that it wasn't too hot. It was in the low 70s. So as I said, the pitching was really good in this game, and I will let you know how. So the top of the first, Johnny Damon struck out swinging. Edgar Renteria hit a fly ball to left. Then after Johnson walked Youkilis on 5 pitches, Manny Ramirez hit a first pitch fly out to center field to end the inning. In the bottom of the first, Derek Jeter hit a fly out to right field. Robinson Cano hit a ground out to short. Then Jason Giambi hit a solo home run to right field. Alex Rodriguez hit a ground ball back to Wakefield to end the inning. In the top of the second and the bottom of the second, each pitcher had a 1-2-3 inning with 2 strikeouts apiece. In the third, they each faced 4 batters. Johnson gave up a walk. Wakefield gave up a triple to Bubba Crosby. And then Derek Jeter and Robinson Cano struck out looking, then swinging to end that inning. Johnson threw another 1-2-3 inning in the fourth. Wakefield matched him in the bottom of the fourth. Johnson threw another 1-2-3 inning in the top of the fifth. He got Graffinito to ground out, and he got Mirabelli and Bill Miller to strike out swinging back-to-back. Miller was on 3 pitches. In the bottom of the fifth, Jorge Posada opened things off with a walk. And then Wakefield struck out the side. He got Williams swinging, Flaherty swinging, Bubba Crosby looking. Top of the sixth, Johnson has another 1-2-3 inning, 2 ground outs, and a swinging strikeout to Edgar Renteria. In the bottom of the sixth, Derek Jeter strikes out swinging, Robinson Cano hits a double, then Giambi strikes out looking, A-Rod strikes out swinging. So, as I mean, Wakefield was annoyingly good that day. In the top of the seventh, another 1-2-3 inning for Randy Johnson. A fly ball to right, a fly ball to center, and Kevin Millar striking out swinging to end the inning. In the bottom of the seventh, Hideki Matsui hit a pop fly to short. Jorge Posada hit a line out to second. Bernie Williams hit a line out to right field. So they made contact that inning, but still couldn't do anything against Wakefield. In the top of the eighth, Tom Gordon comes in to replace Randy Johnson. He gives up a single to Graffinino. Adam Stern pinch runs for Graffinino. I don't recall Adam Stern. Doug Mirabelli hits a ground ball, force out at second, so he's safe at first. Bill Miller hits a fly ball to left field. Mo comes in to replace Tom Gordon. David Ortiz comes in to pinch hit for Gabe Kapler, and he works a walk on 7 pitches. Then Johnny Damon hits a ground out to end the inning. In the bottom of the eighth, Tim Wakefield is still pitching. Gets a fly ball to center, a fly ball to left, a fly ball to right. It's still 1-0. This is why it was intense. The Yankees scored their lone run in the bottom of the first inning, and then the rest of the game was a pitching duel. In the top of the ninth, Andy Phillips replaces Jason Giambi playing first because, again, it's a one-run game and you don't want a statue playing at first. God forbid someone on the Red Sox hits a ball down the line. Edgar Renteria hits a line out back to Mo. Trot Nixon pinch hits for Kevin Youkilis. He hits a ground out to Andy Phillips, unassisted. Manny Ramirez works a 6-pitch walk against Mo. Kevin Millar hits a single, and Manny gets to third, so this is why it was sweaty. John Olerud comes in to pinch hit for Alejandro Machado, and he strikes out swinging on the 5th pitch that Mo throws to him, and the Yankees win 1-0. When Manny Ramirez made it to third, all I thought in my head was, if this game goes to extra innings, I might punch someone. And then I thought, even worse, what if John Olerud hits a 2-run home run here and then the Yankees don't score and they end up losing? Because I was at the game, Pedro against Clemens, matching zeros all the way up to the 9th inning, and then Trot Nixon hits a 2-run home run off Clemens. He throws one bad pitch in the game and the Yankees ended up losing. So I had memories of that game in my head. So I was just thinking, oh my God, don't lose it in the 9th inning. Please don't lose it in the 9th inning. And they didn't. Jason Giambi was the hero. Randy Johnson was the hero. It was nice to see him pitching well again, and especially against the Red Sox in that type of situation. So yeah, that was intense. So once again, before I go, Yankees playing a doubleheader tonight. Again, 7 innings each game, unless, obviously, they go to extra innings, then it won't be just 7 innings. Gerrit Cole in the first game, Masahiro Tanaka in the second game, Jordan Montgomery on Saturday afternoon, and J-Hap on Sunday afternoon. So that's it for this episode of Locked On Yankees, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'd like to remind you that you can subscribe to this show in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Himalaya, Spotify, Stitcher, CastBox, Player FM, Podbean, I mean every single podcast platform available. And when you get into your car, you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Yankees. One more thing, if you could be so kind, please rate the podcast and spread the word about this podcast to your fellow Yankee fans. We would really appreciate it. Enjoy your weekend, and I will talk to you all on Monday.